We are told by both Baha'u'llah and Abdu'l-Bahá that it is most important to deepen daily, to study the Word of God, to become enlightened so that we may better understand and serve the cause of God. This is something that every Baha'i would like to make a part of his or her life. But it is something in the nature of things that we never get around to it. It doesn't have anything to do with the lack of our faith or our sincerity. It has to do with the frantic and frenetic nature of the civilization around us. We easily get preoccupied with things. It also has to do with the fact that, too often, we make our personal deepening a matter of too much devotion. That really, in our eagerness to be firm and devout, we overlook the opportunity to fulfill this vital obligation in ways that could refresh us and be the source of much comfort and enlightenment. I would like to talk about some of the ways in which we might go about deepening so that it would become easier for us, more natural for us, to deepen on a regular basis. We need to find ways to overcome the natural inertia in which we find ourselves in this society, to develop the right kind of spiritual habits which will support and deepen our commitments to Baha'u'llah. I would like to start by suggesting that what we need are small bits of deepening at convenient times. We have great intentions of deepening ourselves by doing the Iqan. I have heard Baha'is talk about doing the Iqan. Baha'u'llah tells us that the scriptures have 7 meanings, nay 70 meanings, nay 70 times 7 meanings. We need to find ways to study the important teachings of Baha'u'llah and his important revelations and tablets in an ongoing way. We probably don't need to wait until we can take on or tackle a whole book. We shouldn't wait. It is this inconsistency. We really want to start deepening ourselves in the cause of God. We really have to work at it to do it justice and to honor Baha'u'llah. Our intentions are good, but they come out backwards, because our good intentions get in our way. If we can break things down into small enough bits so that every time of our life becomes a convenient time to deepen, we would be much more likely to achieve the goal of regular deepening in the Holy Word. By small bits, I mean a sentence or two, or a small paragraph. There are too many days in which we just don't have a half hour or an hour to sit down quietly and meditate. Every single one of us could so organize our day so that we could take time out to contemplate a sentence or two when we wake up in the morning or when we go to bed. Some people function better in the morning, others at night. This could become a spiritual habit if we fit it into our daily routine. We can make that marvelous inspiration that Baha'u'llah has provided for us more a part of our lives. These small bits will add up in marvelous, marvelous ways. I travel quite a bit on an airplane. An airplane ride is not conducive to very long, intensive reading and study, at least not for me. If I have a Baha'i book along, I can just take it out and spend a few minutes. Sometimes I find myself immersing myself for a long period of time, but more often, just a few minutes to consider one or two paragraphs. Sometimes in a systematic way, sometimes opening the book at random. The important thing to do is to recognize that our study does not necessarily have to be systematic. Requiring of ourselves that our study be systematic sometimes gets in the way rather than to enhance the opportunity for our deepening. Whether it is a casual opening of the book to a particular place that intrigues you, to contemplate some passage of scripture to raise your level of understanding, or to make a very systematic commitment to intensive study, any of these provide ways to deepen the small bits at convenient times. Another part of it, however, is to make sure that over a period of time, the deepening has some breadth and takes on some diversity. One of the reasons Baha'u'llah encourages such daily study is so that our depth and breadth of understanding may both be increased. It is almost guaranteed if we really deepen daily, we will find the joy and bounty of finding new little gems to enhance the knowledge of our faith. This changes our whole orientation to the knowledge of God that we find in the Baha'i faith. The truth of the matter is that God never asks of us something which isn't in our own best interest. Often we treat the laws as something of a burden. Intellectually, we know that Baha'u'llah has told us that the spiritual laws of God are the only laws that have the potential to bring success and tranquility to our lives. We know that intellectually at a very intense and personal level. But much of what we do as Baha'is is done out of a sense of duty rather than a sense of joy or genuine commitment and understanding. That's a protection for us, because our faith allows us to gain the benefit of things we don't understand and will help compensate some of our difficulty and lack of understanding. But it is important that we strive to make the Baha'i faith more the center of our life's activity. We will find more and more that we can really rely on the word of Baha'u'llah. We are not immersing ourselves in the study of our faith for a safeguard. We are immersing ourselves in the knowledge of His Word for the love of God. That is the only motivation that makes any sense, to study our faith so that we may become enlightened, so that our knowledge and devotion and love of God can be enhanced. If we find a way to do that, our lives become easier on all sorts of dimensions. We will find support, wisdom, and guidance in many, many more things that we do. The first door to deepening that I am suggesting is to take on a small task, not a large one. Make it so easy that it becomes a spiritual habit to have at our elbow at different times of the day and in different places some book, pamphlet, or study guide, whatever can be the source of our small bits of knowledge and study. The times that we might undertake this study are delightfully varied. Sometimes people are surprised by the fact that when they really take inventory of their time, there are many convenient times during the day to deepen. Before and after meals, after you get home from school, before you sit down to watch your favorite television show. A Baha'i book can be on the table next to your favorite chair. Take a minute or two. Something like this can be joyful and can give feeling of wonderment if it is easy and brief, not as something we take on as a duty or burden. On occasion, we will all find that we are getting carried away by our study, and a brief moment will become a lot longer. But let that happen, if it happens, as it happens. Let our life be characterized by the feeling that our study time is less time than we like, and that we wish we had more, rather than feeling that deepening is something which oppresses us, that we have to do this as Baha'is in order to be good Baha'is. Just that one door, just the idea of being able to digest small bits of the writings at convenient times, is a long way toward deepening. It will not take long for us to find a tremendous ocean of knowledge out there, more than we had ever understood before we got into such a habit. Very frankly, Baha'is with the best intentions in the world cause our faith to become one long string of boring meetings. That string of meetings is often not enough to sustain us and give us this sense of awe and wonderment that this powerful revelation of Baha'u'llah can provide. I recommend that our deepening include commentaries like the revelation of Baha'u'llah. Mr. Taherazadeh quotes frequently from the writings of Baha'u'llah in these works, and we get the double benefit of the pure Word of God and an enlightened commentary on it, which helps provide us with a historical context, giving us a bit of perspective on how Baha'u'llah was responding to the religious traditions of his time. What seems ordinary to us was really miraculous in terms of the way it came into being, given all the tragedies Baha'u'llah had to face. His sufferings on behalf of mankind are truly a marvelous, indeed miraculous story. Let us remember that Baha'u'llah said the miracle of his revelation is found in the words that he has brought us, not in the circumstances of his life. The fact that the circumstances of his life were God-ordained is inescapable to anyone who studies the life of Baha'u'llah, even superficially. But the miracle of Baha'u'llah is the miracle of the divine word, which will make the difference between our spiritual life and our spiritual death as we find ways to incorporate an understanding of the miracles into our ongoing life space. I suggest memorization as a second door of deepening. We find this recommendation in our teachings. We need to find a way to incorporate this into our daily life. I am told that one of the first things that Hand of the Cause Zikrullah Qadim ever memorized was the whole Kitab-e Gan in its original, of course. Very few of us are ready to memorize the Kitab-e Gan. I, for one, admit that I'm not ready for that. But the truth of the matter is that every Baha'i memorizes things that we do not even recognize. We all memorize one very important prayer, and we recite it regularly. Allahu Abha. This is a prayer, an exhortation to God. So we need not think of memorization as a long, hard thing. Let us find favorite lines and memorize them. Many Baha'i children are taught the very brief prayer, Greater is God than every great one. Later they may learn that this is an excerpt from the long obligatory prayer. As Baha'is, we are privileged to excerpt our prayers. We do not have to memorize the whole thing. One of the interesting facts to note is that some of the prayers in our books are really excerpts of longer prayers. Sometimes the prayers have been brought together from multiple sources. Perhaps the best example is the Tablet of Visitation, which is set at the Shrine of Baha'u'llah, and was compiled from Baha'u'llah's revelation from different sources by Nabil after Baha'u'llah's death. The Tablet of Visitation, as we know it, is not a single revelation of Baha'u'llah, but excerpts put together. We are encouraged to memorize brief lines from Baha'u'llah's writings. I particularly enjoyed memorizing the inscriptions over the doors of the Baha'i Temple in Wilmette. When we are teaching, we are encouraged to quote the Word of God. We do not always have a book handy, and it's nice to have brief lines committed to memory so that we can quote them to others. Sometimes we will be paraphrasing, and sometimes our memory will play tricks on us, but it's a good thing to start. In the West, we have not taken advantage of the opportunity to memorize the Word of God. Abdu'l-Bahá has powerful things to say about the positive consequences of memorization. In the future, no doubt, one of the activities which we will see practiced to a much greater extent will be extensive memorization of the writings of Baha'u'llah, Abdu'l-Bahá, and the Bab. This will be one way that we will bring ourselves much more in line with the spirit of our teachings, to bring them constantly to our lips. Set as a personal objective the memorization of a few brief lines each week or each month, we will find that they mount up in really wonderful ways. Often, we will find that one line may be a very nice building block to many ideas and understandings. We find in our prayer book the line, O Thou who art the most manifest of the manifest and the most hidden of the hidden. That is such a wonderful starting point to think about so many aspects of our faith. The way in which God speaks to man and the way in which God must remain hidden. The way in which God chooses to manifest himself and help man gain spirituality. That one line is the starting point of many mental excursions in trying to understand the most manifest of the manifest. Baha'u'llah brought us over 100 volumes elaborating the most hidden of the hidden. The worlds of God are so remote and so hidden. At one point, Baha'u'llah refers to all the realms of God. In one tablet, he mentions 4 kingdoms of God. The most advanced, the highest kingdom of God, is so exalted and so remote that even a manifestation of God has no comprehension or understanding of it. If we could have some small notion of the vastness of God's dominion, to internalize that even a manifestation of God who can speak with the authority of God has no comprehension of some of these realms. It would help us, I think, put our faith in perspective. This has been one of my favorite concepts to memorize and focus attention on. A third door to deepening is specialization. I think that as Baha'is we tend to be very, very superficial. We tend to recycle the same things again and again and again. We get a bit of knowledge, and boy, do we get a lot of mileage out of it. I wish I had a nickel for every Baha'i fireside I have attended that started with, the Bab declared himself in 1844 and he was martyred in 1850, Baha'u'llah declared himself, and on we go with a kind of thumbnail sketch that represents a superficial statement of the history of our faith and its teachings. We endlessly bore ourselves with this. How is it possible to look forward to going to meeting after meeting, and particularly fireside after fireside, when we hear the same things that we have been hearing for the whole time that we've been Baha'is? I think we owe ourselves more. And we can find more through the door of specialization. Each of us can find a few things that we'd like to know and understand more about. The marvelous compilations that the Universal House of Justice has issued are one very nice source of specialization. A Baha'i who is interested in music might start the intensive study of the compilation on music. We might want to become experts in the process of mass teaching, or experts on the Baha'i front. There are experts on the ethical teachings of Baha'u'llah. We could try to understand the hidden words on a much deeper and more personal level. This level of specialization can be a matter of brief inquiry or casual attention, or it can become something which extends over a long period of time. It can even produce volumes. Alan Ward's book on the travels of Abdu'l-Bahá in the United States represents a specialization which was undertaken over a period of years. At the moment, a group of people are working with me looking at Abdu'l-Bahá's use of analogies. We are trying to compile the analogies of Abdu'l-Bahá, what the subjects of these analogies were, and how they were used by Abdu'l-Bahá. We might find better ways to use them and incorporate them into our teaching. There is no limit and no end to the kinds of specialization that we can undertake. But as we undertake this specialization, we become much more interesting to our fellow Baha'is. The introduction to the Baha'i faith can call attention to an area of special study as easily as it can to some sort of comprehensive overview. It is very good for people to have a comprehensive overview. It is equally good for them to understand some small aspect of our faith in greater depth, even as a starting point for their knowledge of the cause of God. There is no one place to begin the study of the Baha'i faith. It can begin anywhere. And if, as Baha'is, each of us becomes specialized in some aspect of the study of our faith, it makes it possible for us to enlighten each other even in our casual firesides, to make all of our meetings more exciting and more productive, so that we simply do not bore each other again and again and again. Specialization increases the knowledge of the person who is undertaking the study, and specialization broadens the knowledge of the community as a whole. It means that we are more likely to learn something new every time that we gather to study our faith. Every feast can have a presentation on some area of study that one of the members of the community has undertaken. This can be a regular thing which helps broaden our base of knowledge and understanding. If within a community each person undertakes a different kind of specialization, we become resources for each other. When a person who is interested in studying the Baha'i faith comes along with a particular kind of interest, we will know someone to whom we can refer them to carry on a dialogue, to get their questions answered. Specialization is an important door to deepening. Each of us can find some intriguing notion to follow up on, to study in depth. Some years ago, as a part of undertaking a systematic development of the Star Study Program, some members of our committee became intrigued with the names of God. Before we were finished, we had compiled a list of 400 or 500 names of God. What a wonderful little sidelight that was on our overall deepening program, just to see that in one place, gathered together, a large number of the names of God, and to contemplate and talk about the vastness of understanding to be gained by trying to deepen ourselves on the meanings of names and attributes of God. We cannot know God, but we can know the attributes of God. To specialize in the knowledge of the attributes of God is something that is both delightful and profound. Another door to deepening is what I would call mutual study. We can gain a lot by working with each other and bouncing our ideas off of other people. We all have people who share our perspective, with whom we feel intellectually and personally compatible. To undertake mutual study with such individuals is almost always a benefit to both, to test our interpretations. Baha'u'llah encourages us to interpret his teachings. The difference between our personal interpretation and that of Abdu'l-Bahá and Shoghi Effendi is that our personal interpretation is binding on no one. It represents our own understanding, and it is useful to us, simply because it is our understanding. And we are not prohibited from sharing our understanding with others, but we are prohibited from forcing our understanding on anyone else. We share our understanding with others, and we invite them to consider it. If they find it compatible, they may choose to incorporate it into their understanding. If not, they are free to ignore it. The process of mutual interpretation and sharing is a very personal process. It is a part of the intellectual gifts that God has given us to try to tease out new meanings from our intellectual efforts. This creates bridges and links between various isolated aspects of our knowledge, helping us to understand how different concepts relate and support each other. That process can be very much enhanced by mutual study. Mutual study can either be in person, when we get together to have discussions, or by correspondence. There may be people who we know who have certain kinds of perceptions that have been very helpful to us. When they say, "This is something I have been thinking about, what is your perspective? How do you think I could understand this better?" Our understanding develops and our horizons are stretched. If we as Baha'is make it a much more natural part of our spiritual life to question each other and to support each other in our study of our faith, our knowledge, awareness, and spiritual depth will grow enormously. There are so many opportunities for mutual study that we pass up simply because we are not alert to our potential support systems. Incidentally, that kind of mutual study, the kind of deepening class with two or three people who get together because they enjoy each other's company and enjoy each other's perspective, can turn out to be some of the most exciting and the most challenging deepening activities we can imagine. We tend to make deepening classes very formal, very formidable, and often very boring. I know of nothing in the law of Baha'u'llah that says we should bore each other in our deepening activities. That is not one of the doors of deepening that I know about. Yet we somehow too often seem to ritualize the approach that if we study, we have to make it boring. Deepening takes on this awesome sense of overpowering duty instead of the joy we discover when we are able to find new spiritual refreshment with every turn of the page. Another door to deepening is finding multiple meanings. This goes back to the quotation that I mentioned earlier, in which Baha'u'llah said that all the words of God have 70 meanings, nay, 70 times 7 meanings. The idea is there, inescapably, that the Word of God can be understood at so many different levels. It is a wonderful thing to try and tease out these multiple meanings. One of the things that I do is this. I will recite a prayer that I know very, very well to see if I can add another level of meaning to those I have already digested. It does not necessarily mean that all the ideas that we can come up with are true and valid, because we may mislead ourselves, but we will also be able to discover and enlighten each other about many potential areas of meaning that are contained in the scriptures. It becomes so much more exciting for us to see the potential of the Word of God if we realize that there are many, many levels of meanings and understanding that can be incorporated into a single word or phrase, and exciting for us to know that we can discover several of these meanings. Sometimes undertaking the study of multiple meanings means pulling out the dictionary and encyclopedias and taking apart each sentence, word by word, to try to understand why things are said the way they are. So many times when we are saying prayers, we just read right by things and never focus on them. It's a wonderful thing to sit down and dissect them. I can remember one time in which our community spent about 3 days on two or three pages of the Tablet of the True Seeker. The Tablet of the True Seeker makes a marvelous study class for as long as you want to study it. There are so many meanings packed into each phrase and each sentence. What does Baha'u'llah mean by veils of acquired knowledge? How can acquired knowledge become a veil? Think about that for a long time and understand the different meanings and levels of meaning about veils of acquired knowledge. We could also play games with multiple meanings. I know one community that would take something which would be very familiar, like the remover of difficulties, and invite all the members of the community to try and come up with their own understanding of a particular phrase of the remover of difficulties, a prayer that we constantly say as Baha'is. What does it mean when the Bab says, "and all abide by his bidding"? There are different levels and different ways to understand it. Can we share with each other different meanings and expose for ourselves the level of richness that is there? Now, I think that it's important to note that sometimes we are not very creative, and maybe the different levels of meanings will not be immediately obvious to us. We should not become discouraged if that's the case. If we only see one or two meanings, or maybe none at all, so be it. It will come at another time or in another way, but it is important to know that the meanings are there. One of the ways that we can help our understanding of the richness of the Word of God is to find the multiple meanings, at least in some of the passages, as we start to get some personal experience with the way in which the words of God can be understood at a variety of levels. This process becomes a significant door to deepening. Another door to deepening is the use of nuggets and gems. Each of us in the course of our study will come across a small little phrase, small stories, particularly in the tablets of Abdu'l-Bahá, that will have tremendous impact on us. We need to find the opportunity to share these nuggets and gems that we discover hidden in the writings of our faith with each other, to mention them in feasts or on special occasions, as preludes to firesides or in our correspondence with each other, to say, "This is something that I recently found that just gave me a level of understanding I had never had before." I mentioned a little earlier the fact that Baha'u'llah had referred to the kingdoms of God as paralleling the kingdoms of man. This is something I encountered recently. This was a gem. To find Baha'u'llah saying that in the kingdoms of God there are some levels, some states that even the manifestation of God can't comprehend. Now that was a little gem, a little nugget that I spent a lot of time thinking about. The importance of knowing that the kingdoms of God are so vast that even the manifestations of God cannot comprehend all the kingdoms of God, that just set my mind buzzing in lots of ways. And there was another little nugget I can share with you that made an impact on me recently. In the revelation of Baha'u'llah, at one point the author talks about how Baha'u'llah mentions that all the manifestations of God are equal. They're all unified. At the same time, Baha'u'llah tells us how this revelation is greater than any revelation in the past. There's a quotation from Baha'u'llah in which he says that this revelation is so great that the earlier manifestations really had no understanding of its greatness at all. Well now, if the manifestations of God are all united and equal, how could these manifestations of God not understand the greatness of Baha'u'llah? The concept that set me thinking was the use of the analogy of the child. The child, the youth, and the adult are all the same person. In spite of the fact that they are the same person, they are different. In one sense, the child dies as the youth emerges, and the understanding and capabilities of the mature adult are very different from the child. The child has neither the physical nor the emotional prowess of an adult, although it is the same person or identity. In the same way, the manifestations of God come into more primitive society. The station of these manifestations are exactly the same, all united, but the development of the station of the manifestation was much more primitive. These manifestations of God all had the potential of the fullness of all revelation, yet that potential remained undeveloped. This was a nugget for me, but maybe not as interesting to someone else. Or let's put it this way. It is more likely that some people will be at a stage or a point in their lives at which this is something that they would like to focus on. Another person would not wish to focus on this or find it exciting or interesting. In some instances, we can even be threatened by certain kinds of concepts we find. We have to set them aside and leave them be, but the idea of being able to pick out certain little bits and pieces of the revelation of God and focus on and highlight them is a very exciting thing. We can make the study of our faith much more alive. It ensures that we are always attaining new levels of understanding or being exposed to new concepts we had not thought of before. We should really strive in our lives as Baha'is to learn something new every day. We should strive to make our Baha'i gathering such that every single person in that gathering will learn something new at that time. Part of the opportunity to learn something new will rest with the cleverness, integrity, and care with which those meetings and gatherings are instructed. And part of our opportunity to learn from each meeting will be our own mindset as we listen for the multiple meanings that can be found in all the teachings of Baha'u'llah. These vignettes and gems are an important door to deepening because they help us focus on small aspects of our faith which we can then salt away in our own repertoire. Another door to deepening is very straightforward questions and answers. We ask questions and we get others to help us with the answers, or we go find the answers in the writings. Other people ask us questions and we start scurrying around to find the answers, and in the process of trying to find the answers, either in reading the books or talking to other Baha'is, our knowledge expands. Many of the scriptures that we have represent Baha'u'llah's and Abdul Baha's responses to various questions that believers raise to them. The revelation was a result of exploring this mine of inestimable wealth and depth. All in all, we have 100 years of revelation and interpretation of that revelation, and that will keep scholars of the Baha'i faith busy for about 1,000 years. We are just at the brink of being able to have access to that wealth of knowledge, but it is there. As we focus our study through the uniqueness of individual questions and answers, we can learn a lot, and the process becomes a powerful door to deepening. The uniqueness of individual questions and spending the time to find better answers to frequently asked questions is truly a door to deepening. Another door to deepening, which is really one of the most conventional aspects of deepening, as we can historically define it in our community, is the systematic study of books and tablets. This is something that will happen from time to time, and for some people it will be a constant thing. But for others, we have the urge and inclination to study an individual book, and this will occupy us for a time, and we will tire of it and become preoccupied with other things. In our own community right now, we have undertaken in our deepening classes to pick several of the collected works of Shoghi Effendi, to really try to understand the depth and breadth of Shoghi Effendi's communication to the American Baha'is and to the Baha'is of the world. We hope to see if we can identify a little more deeply with the drama and excitement of Shoghi Effendi's task of building a new world order. All of us engaged in these study classes are finding new levels of understanding as we go through Call to the Nations. And incidentally, the particular style with which we are comfortable is not to sit there and read and read and read and ask if there are any questions, but rather to try to stay a few pages ahead through reading on our own, a task that we don't always accomplish. In this way, we do not have to have any set amount of material that we have to cover in an evening, but allow ourselves the luxury of lots of intellectual side trips. Looking things up in dictionaries and encyclopedias, and in the case of Shoghi Effendi's writings, often consulting maps and letting the discussion go in whatever direction it goes. Sometimes we will find things that we will focus on that are less than one page. We can read several pages and find that someone in the group wants to focus on them in depth. Again, there is no one way to systematically study the books and tablets of our revelation. The depth and breadth of what is available to us is so vast. Another door to deepening is application and interpretation of certain of the teachings to think of the ways in which they can be applied to different circumstances, or to take a law and see how it relates to other laws. For example, we are told as Baha'is that Baha'u'llah puts a tremendous emphasis on the family. We are told as Baha'is that the most premium activity that we can engage in is pioneering. Sometimes family responsibility and pioneering opportunities may appear to compete with each other. Different laws of Baha'u'llah apply simultaneously, and we have to learn how it becomes a distortion to focus on any one law to the exclusion of others, that life is a marvelously intricate relationship between laws and principles. The source of our understanding is the potential application and interpretation of the Baha'i laws, striving to make them a part of our life. One of the ways in which we should try to deepen ourselves is to see how many principles we can apply to the same situation. Here, we might start with an ordinary life circumstance and start brainstorming and thinking of the various Baha'i teachings that would apply to that circumstance. When we do that, we are enormously impressed with just how delightfully complicated life can be. It is such a wonderful thing to recognize the power that God has given to man in terms of choice. We do not live in a world as devout Baha'is. God has given us the ability to choose. One of those little gems I remember reading recently is that it is the justice of God that He will help us to achieve even those things which are not in accordance with spiritual principles, simply as a matter of justice. God values the choice that man has to the extent that God will help man exercise that choice even when man chooses a way that is not in accordance with his own spiritual development. It is so wonderful to think about the way in which we have the opportunity as human beings to use this God-given right to choose. The last door to deepening that I would like to mention is that of alternative perspective. Each of us brings with us a certain perspective to understanding the teachings. It is important that we recognize that it is sometimes our perspective that creates the understanding that we have. If our perspective is a Western perspective, we view certain aspects of the Baha'i marriage law as very restrictive. It is not customary in our society to gain the permission of our parents before we marry. If we have the perspective of the East, that law is not a restrictive law at all. From an Eastern perspective, how permissive Baha'i law is to insist that marriage be a free choice and not be arranged. Depending on the cultural background that we have, our individual orientation, our interests and preoccupations, every teaching of Baha'u'llah will take on different meanings. It is important for us as a community to share these different perspectives and be aware of how they will influence our understanding of our faith. Let us then review the doors to deepening that we have considered. Deepening in small doses. Memorization. Specialization. Mutual study. Multiple meanings. Nuggets and gems. Questions and answers. Systematic study. Application and interpretation, and alternative perspectives. There are so many doors to deepening. The doors to deepening I have suggested are certainly not the only way of understanding deepening, but as we share together different ways to go about deepening and organizing our deepening to increase our level of understanding of our faith, this will provide us a level of richness that we have not achieved before in our community and will enable us to overcome many of the problems that we have as individual Baha'is in the practice of Baha'i community life. Increased ability to serve the cause of God becomes the ardent, lifelong objective of the souls of Baha'u'llah's heavenly army. Problems of superficiality, lack of perspective or understanding, problems of stultification because we sit around and bore each other repeating the same level of superficiality, all these can be overcome through the use of many doors to deepening. How much more successful our lives will become when we realize the purpose of our creation, to know and to worship God.